Westside Baptist Church in Newnan, Georgia, brings you our weekly podcast. We hope you will be encouraged by our music and a message from the Word of God as we present our Sunday morning and Sunday evening services and our weekly broadcast by Dr. Melvin Payne. We thank you for listening.
Say amen. Amen. I'm glad I'm saved. How many glad you saved this morning? Amen. If you're not saved, you can come to be saved. We can show you how. Amen. 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 Woo. That's good this morning.
Good to see all of you at Westside this morning. Good to be here. Had a good weekend. But going back to last Sunday, boy, if you weren't here last Sunday night for the prayer meeting that we had, you missed blessing. You got prayed for. Even the visitors that are sitting here that didn't even know they were going to be here, people were walking around praying over those pews, those empty pews, for the people that were going to sit in those pews. And so you got prayed for and you didn't even know about it. I tell you, where's Grayson at? Grayson, stand up real quick, boy. Grayson blessed my heart last Sunday night. We were going around and we had asked people to go around and pray, and we had people praying over the instruments, and so some of us gathered around the pulpit and began to pray for the man that's going to stand behind the pulpit. And I heard a voice, and it was a little higher pitched, and so I was standing over here and I looked around to see who it was, and old Grayson was sitting right here. And he was praying. I mean, he was praying out loud, folks. And I mean, he was talking to God just like I'm talking to you. And he sat here, and he prayed. I don't know, that boy prayed for almost 30 minutes, sitting right here. Grayson, you're a blessing, son. I appreciate that. And I want him to stand up. You can take you can stand up on the rest of the way if you want to, but you can sit down. But I appreciated that. It's start them off right. Start them off right. Teach them what this altar is all about and what prayer is all about. And that was just a blessing. But wish you all could have been here. But I wanted Phil to sing this song this morning. We all need to do this more. Bow the knee.
There are moments on our journey following the Lord when God illumines every step we take. There are times when circumstances make perfect sense to us as we try to understand each move He makes. But when the path grows dim and our questions have no answers, turn to Him.
Bow the knee, trust the heart of your Father when the answer goes beyond what you can see. Bow the knee, lift your eyes toward heaven and believe the one who holds eternity. When you don't understand the purpose of His plan, in the presence of your King, bow the knee.
Cease to glow.
And there seems to be no reason for the suffering we feel.
We are tempted to believe God doesn't know.
By faith and not by sight.
asked William to, I was going to let the choir come down, and Brother Steve and his wife are going to come around and sing. I'm not trying to cut into his time, just trying to mind the Lord, and that's what he told us to do. He said, don't worry about it, you just mind the Lord. But I want the choir to sing, There Is a Fountain, if it will.
And then we're supposed to let the choir come down and everything's supposed to have us. But I tell you, folks, that's good stuff right there. And I appreciate the choir. I appreciate the work of the choir. But I'm talking the good stuff is what the content of what they're singing about. I hope we hadn't scared any of our guests today, but I tell you, we just like to worship. And praise be to God. Isn't that wonderful? Folks, I tell you, I'm full right now. Brother Steve, you sure you want to preach this morning? Amen. Brother Dave, you do what you feel like you need. Say it again. Are we having fun yet? Amen. It is nice to be in the house of the Lord. And just want to mention William and Courtney's mom and dad are with us from way north of Atlanta. I believe that's Cummings, isn't it? And a long way from here. But they're here with us today. And Courtney's mom, dad, and an older sister is over there. So we appreciate that. And then I see a couple more family members. Are they family members? Are those yours too? Well, handsome family, thank you for being here. Amen. Brother Steve, as I've known him since I was a teenager, and as Dad kind of mentioned before, we were serving in Canada when we were introduced to them through a church over in Michigan. And, of course, we enjoyed the family. And now, Brother Steve is the brother of Jim Brady, the he's a star, okay? Now, his Southern Gospel and Southern Gospel is well known if you are into Southern Gospel music. But anyhow, that's who Brother Steve is related to. But he also had, when they came to our church, they had he, you, and Jim, which we call him Jimmy. He was 8, 9 years old about this, and he was special even back then. We knew he was going to do something extraordinary in that industry. But then you also had 5 sisters. Now understand, please, I was a teenage boy. So when the Bradys came, it was always nice to see Steve, but I was probably more interested in his sisters than in Steve. Amen. But they're here with us, he and his lovely wife and 2 daughters. And they were our special speakers at our couples retreat. And as I mentioned earlier, we had a wonderful time, and they were a real blessing to everyone there. So if we're going to get out of here by 12:05 so we can go eat, we need to let him come on and do what he's going to do. So, Steve, y'all come now.
Boy, it's certainly good to be here today. What a tremendous choir number we just heard. All of them choir numbers. Wasn't that great? That was tremendous. And, you know, music sets the mood for the service. And it prepares the heart. And I'll tell you what, my heart's prepared today. Amen. Tremendous. Tremendous. And we're just glad to be here today. We want to be a blessing to you. And I hope that something that's said or sung is a blessing to you and encourages you to keep going for the Lord. Amen. Your church has been a blessing to us. And we had a tremendous time at the couples retreat. And we just enjoyed ourselves tremendously. If he gained 3 pounds, I probably gained 10 pounds. Because we had a wonderful time of food and fellowship. And isn't the Lord good to us? Isn't he good to us? Well, if you're here today and you haven't made up your mind to serve the Lord, that's what you need to do, is make up your mind. Say, I'm going to serve the Lord.
Found myself at a crossroads. I knew the time was right. And God's Holy Spirit spoke to my heart that night. Showed me my lost condition. I bowed in full contrition. Now I'm in a new position. Since I've made up my mind,
I've made up my mind. No matter what others say, I will follow Christ and walk in His way. Though the battle gets hard and the road gets steep, that's okay. I've set my heart on becoming like Christ, dying with Him and raised to new life. All the things of this world I'm leaving behind, since I've made up my mind.
Trouble came running to me and I had to make a choice. Would I run or take a stand against this evil voice? But after all God did for me, and Jesus' blood has set me free, I choose to walk in liberty, for I've made up my mind.
I've made up my mind, no matter what others say, I will follow Christ and walk in His way. Though the battle gets hard and the road gets steep, that's okay. I've set my heart on becoming like Christ, dying with Him and raised to new life. All the things of this world I'm leaving behind, since I've made up my all the things of this world I'm leaving behind, since I've made up my mind.
Amen. I want Laura to give you a word of greeting today, and thank you so much for letting us come, Brother Alton. What a blessing it is to see your dear mom and dad. And I'll tell you what, it's just a blessing to be worshiping with people that want to worship the Lord. Amen. And you didn't scare me a bit. I'll tell you what, it was wonderful. And we've had some great camp meetings where you couldn't even hardly hear the singing and the preaching because people were shouting. They were getting so happy. And so it didn't bother us a bit. But we thank the Lord to be worshiping with people that want to worship. Amen. It's a blessing. Laura, give us a word of greeting today, if you would.
I'm thankful that I'm saved. That's the bottom line. Because with becoming saved, you have an eternity to look forward to. You have a life in front of you that can be beyond what you could imagine. You have someone to walk through every hard thing with. You have someone to love you when you're lonely, help you when you need help, and someone to cry out to when you need them. There's a lot of people, and probably many of you were saved when you were little. How many of you were saved before you were 10 years old? How many of you were saved before 15? You know, that's about half this congregation right there. But sometimes what happens is we are saved young, we lose sight of what God did for us. But then there are some who fall in love with Him. And I did. He wasn't just Jesus who saved me. I had a relationship. And being a Christian is not a set of rules. It's a relationship. And if you don't have a relationship, maybe you don't have a Savior. But it's not too late. He could be yours today. And your testimony could be this song like it is mine. I've been singing this song a while, but it's always been my testimony. You're still Lord. When I was just a child, I heard the beautiful story. How you loved me so, you died on Calvary. And though I claimed you way back then as Lord Almighty, things haven't changed. My love's still the same. You're still Lord to me. You're still touch. for all of time, you're still Lord. You'll always be mine for all of time, you're still Lord. You're still.
Isn't that beautiful? Do you love him today? I hope you love him today. We love him today. And, you know, it's not about us. It's about him. He did all this for us. And we're not worthy, but we're thankful. And I love him this morning, and I hope you love him. And I hope this song's a blessing to you.
David sang the praises of the glory of Jehovah. Paul preached that all is lost save knowing Christ. Little John said he is precious by leaning on his bosom. So for a moment, may I humbly testify. Did I mention that I love him? How I worship and adore him. When I can see no way, he makes a way. Did I mention he's been faithful to every promise he's ever made me? I love him, that's all I want to say.
How many sermons can be preached about this Jesus? How many songs can be sung about God's Son? There are not enough words, enough notes in the music to tell the story of all the Savior's done. Did I mention that I love him? How I worship and adore him. When I can see no way, he makes a way. Did I mention he's been faithful to every promise he's ever made me? I love him, that's all I want to say. Did I mention that I love him? How I worship and adore him. When I can see no way, he makes a way. Did I mention he's been faithful to every promise he's ever made me? I love him, that's all I want to say. Did I mention he's been faithful to every promise he's ever made me? I love him, that's all I want to say. Did I mention that I love him? How I worship and adore him. When I can see no way, he makes a way.
to every promise he's ever made me. I love him, that's all I want to say. Did I mention he's been faithful to every promise he's ever made me? I love him, that's all I want to say. I love him, that's all I want to say. Did I mention that I love him? How I worship and adore him. When I can see no way, he makes a way. Did I mention he's been faithful to every promise he's ever made me? I love him, that's all I want to say. Did I mention he's been faithful to every promise he's ever made me? I love him, that's all I want to say. I love him, that's all I want to say.
Praise the Lord. I'll tell you what a blessing. What a blessing. Amen. Now, I hope you folks don't get nervous because I like what Brother Alton said this morning. He said, I hope we didn't scare any of our visitors. Well, listen, folks, sometimes God doesn't work on our time zone. Amen. Sometimes he works on his own time zone, and I do understand that. You know, my sister Debbie that's in heaven, she got saved. And the preacher didn't even preach that whole service. All there was singing and testifying. So I understand that the Lord uses preaching. And I know that he uses the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. But let me tell you something, folks. We've heard enough preaching in these songs. Hasn't that been great? You understand what the choir sang about the love? About that love that he has for us? Well, I'll tell you what, folks. If you've never experienced that love, today can be the day that you can experience that. Tremendous, I tell you. Now, I just thank the Lord for a church that wants to worship. We get to some churches where I'm telling you, folks, and listen, we love what we're doing. We love it. We go to some churches, and all they want to do is hurry up and get this thing over with. And you know what? God can't work in that kind of atmosphere. He wants to work with those that say, Lord, I came here to hear from you, and whatever it takes, I want to hear from you. Be like Jacob of old and say, I'm not going to leave until you bless me. Amen. And listen, folks, we used to come to church expecting a blessing. Amen. And we used to come to church wanting to be a blessing. But now we come to church and say, let's get this thing over with. Hey, listen, we got a game to watch. Amen. We got something else to do. Listen, folks, sometimes God doesn't work on the timetable that we think he ought to work. Amen. But you know what? He's never late. He's always on time. Amen. Always on time. And so I'll try not to be very long this morning, but I do want to give you a message today. The Lord has laid on my heart. And I tell you what, we were here, I think it was about a year ago, wasn't it? We were here about a year ago, and Brother Alton preached the message. Boy, I mean, I'm still fired up about that message. That was good, brother. And what a blessing it is to hear a preacher get up and preach the Word of God. Thus saith the Lord. Amen. And it's a blessing to hear that. And so this morning we want to preach to you what God wants us to give to you. And if you will, turn your Bibles to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. We're going to be talking about, we're going to be in this chapter here. It's such a very familiar chapter. And sometimes we shy away from familiar chapters, don't we? Because they're so familiar, because people know them. But But I want to talk to you just for a few short minutes. I've only got 3 short points. That's it. Now, I've got 15 sub-points under each point. No, I'm just joking. You might have heard about that Puritan preacher that was heard preaching. He said, and 65thly, you heard that? I don't have 65 points, amen. And you're welcome, Brother Alton. I'm not really a long preacher. I'm not. My dad was a long-winded preacher, and I love him, I tell you. And let me just tell you, we'll give to you what the Lord wants us to give to you today, and then we'll go to the house, amen. You know what it means when a Baptist preacher takes off his watch and lays it on the pulpit? It means absolutely nothing, amen. All right, let's see what it says here in John chapter 3. Look what it says here. Let's begin reading in verse 1. It says, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, that which is born of spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh from, and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? And Jesus said and answered said unto him, art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to the heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And then one of the most familiar verses of scriptures, almost everybody can quote it, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. We'll stop reading right there, but in this chapter we have a story of a man coming to Jesus by night. Now, I have my own theory. I think I know why he came to him by night. I think he didn't want anybody to see him come to Jesus. And I think he was afraid what his friends would say. You see, Nicodemus was a very learned man. He was a very knowledgeable man. And he came to Jesus by night because he didn't want his friends to see that he had come to Jesus to ask him some questions. You see, Jesus at that time was a very controversial man. And the religious crowd did not like Jesus. They didn't like him because he healed the sick, because he was able to do miracles, and they didn't like that. And so, you know, the most of the things that people were against Jesus, it came from the religious crowd. It didn't come from the world. It came from the religious crowd. And so here Nicodemus was going to school there in Israel. He was going to the University of Israel, and the Bible says that he had a master's degree. And he was a doctor. And so Jesus said to him, look what he said in verse 7, marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. And Nicodemus was a very learned man, but he didn't know how to be born again. Do you know that we have a lot of people like that today? They're very knowledgeable, but they don't know anything about spiritual things. They don't know how to be born again. And Nicodemus couldn't wrap his mind around this thing. How can a man be born again? Does he enter his mother's womb again? And Jesus said, oh, no. He said, realize this, that which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. Just as you had a physical birthday, you must have a spiritual birthday. You know, it's important you understand. Jesus said here, he said, marvel not that I said unto you, ye must be born again. We're going to talk about 3 musts today, 3 things that are imperatives, 3 things that you can't argue with, 3 things that are imperative this morning. And so we're going to talk about the first must, and that is in verse 7, marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Excuse me. Now, Jesus said this to Nicodemus. He said, you must be born again. Do you know a lot of people try to water that down? A lot of people try to change that. A lot of people try to make their own salvation. But Jesus said, you must be born again. Now, anytime a man gets up in the pulpit and says, you must do something, a barrier goes up, a wall goes up, right? Because we're humans, and we don't like anybody telling us what to do. Isn't that right? And then we say, now, wait a minute. Don't tell me what to do. I'm my own person. I can do what I want to do. I understand that. So let me just put it to you this way. You don't have to be born again. But if you want to get to God's heaven, you must be born again. Amen. There are some things you must do. If you want to get into this building, you must come through that door or that door or that door. Amen. There's some requirements that you must make. And if you want to get to God's heaven, you must be born again. And let me go a step further and say this. If you want to get to God's heaven, you must be born again His way, not our way. You see, there are people that tell you, oh, you just be good to your fellow man. You just do good to others. You just help old ladies across the street. You just be good to your neighbor, and you'll get there. That's not what the Bible states. The Bible says you must be born again. You know, I've done a lot of things since I've been a daddy and trying to provide for our family and trying to do things to put food on the table. And so I'd go out and do some work. And I did some side jobs. And sometimes when I worked for Harmony Baptist Church, one of my jobs was that I had to knock on doors. And I had to invite people to our church and find out if they were saved. And one time I knocked on this young man's door, and I said, I'm from Harmony Baptist Church in Plant City, Florida. I said, I have a question for you today. If you die today, do you know for sure you go to heaven? He stepped back and paused a little bit, put his hand on his chin. He said, I believe I would. I said, well, that's great. I said, what are you basing that on? He said, I'm glad you asked. His eyes got real big. He said, I believe this. When I get to heaven, there's going to be a huge golden scale up there. And he said, on one side of the scale is going to be the good things I've done, and on the other side of the scale is going to be the bad things I've done. If the good outweighs the bad, then I get to go to heaven. But if the bad outweighs the good, then I'll have to go to hell. I said, sir, are you trusting in that to get you to heaven? He said, oh, yeah. And now you know what I told him? I said, sir, if you're trusting in that, then you're lost. Because that's not what the Bible states that you have to do to be saved. And so people they have many theories. People have many, many things that they say, oh, this is what you need to do. You need to go to church every Sunday. You know what, folks? That's not going to get you to heaven. What's going to get you to heaven is accepting Christ in your heart and asking Christ to come in. So Jesus said unto Nicodemus, he said, you must be born again. And so we need to understand that that which is born of flesh is flesh, that which is born of spirit is spirit. I talked to another man. I said, sir, if you died today, you know for sure you'd go to heaven? He said, oh, yeah, I'd go to heaven. I said, that's awesome. That's great. What are you basing that on? He said, I want you to know, I go down here to the First Baptist Church, and he said, I have never missed a Sunday in 24 years. He said, I have pins and ribbons of never missing a Sunday. And he said, I've been coming to church all my life, and he said, I've been doing good to people, and he said, I've been helping others, and he said, I've just been gradually getting better and better, and he said, until finally I just got saved. You know what I thought in my mind? I didn't say this to him, but I thought in my mind, you believe in spiritual evolution. You know, God doesn't have a spiritual evolution theory in his word. There's no such thing as getting better and better until finally you get saved. What it is it's a change. Just as you were born physically and you have a physical birthday, you need to have a spiritual birthday. A time when you say, Lord, I repent of my sin, and Lord, come into my heart and save me. If you're here today and you've never had a time when you've asked Christ to come in your heart, then you're lost. Because Jesus said, you must be born again. If you want to get to heaven, you're going to have to be born again. You know, people say, well, all you have to do is pay taxes and die. No, you don't even have to pay taxes. If you want to sit in jail all your life, you don't have to pay taxes. You don't have to do anything. But if you want to get to God's heaven, you must be born again. Amen? And that's what Jesus was telling Nicodemus. We must hurry. Look at the second must, if you will. Look at verse 14 of John chapter 3. The first must is that you must be born again, verse 7. But the second must and second imperative in our chapter today is John chapter 3 and verse 14. Look what he said here. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Do you know that this is an imperative? Do you know that at this church, we don't preach ourselves? At this church, we don't preach any other doctrine. We preach Jesus. Do you know why? Because Jesus said this, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men to me. You know, I can't draw anybody to myself, but you know what? Jesus said he could draw all men to him. And so it is good for us to preach Jesus. We don't preach our theory. We don't preach what we think. We preach the Word of God. You say, Brother Steve, why do you do that? Because we want to lift Jesus up. There was a young man that was getting ready to preach his first sermon. He was sitting on the front row, and he was kind of wringing his hands a little bit. He was sitting beside an old seasoned preacher that had preached for years. And he was getting ready for the pastor to call him up to preach. And just before he got up to preach, he leaned over. He said to this old seasoned preacher, he said, have you got any suggestions for a guy like me that's getting ready to preach his first sermon? The old man thought for a minute. He leaned over and he said, yes, son. He said, I've got some suggestions for you. He said, when you get up there, you lay low the sinner and lift high the Savior. Isn't that good? And that's what we need to do, folks. Listen, folks, it's not about us today. It's not about us this morning. It's about him. And Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men into me. And you know what? We can change our methods. We can change our programs, but we can't change our message, folks. Our message is about Jesus. And we need to preach Jesus. It's not about us. It's about him. Amen. And any time we get up to preach or sing, it has to be about him. Oh, Lord, help us. You know what? I love that song. When people look at me, do they see Jesus? What do they see when they look at you? Do they see Jesus? Are you lifting him up? He said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And then he said in verse 15, that whosoever, aren't you glad we have a whosoever gospel? Aren't you glad that we, you know what, when I was knocking on them doors, when I was associate pastor for 15 years at Harmony Baptist Church, and when I was knocking on them doors, what would I have to do if some guy said, sir, you don't know what I've done. You don't know where I've been, and you don't know how bad I've been. Wouldn't it be sad if I had to drop my head and walk away and say, yeah, the Lord can't save you? Wouldn't that be terrible? What kind of God would we serve if we served that kind of a God? Folks, I'm glad I could tell anybody, listen, Jesus loves you, and he can save you. Amen. I'm thankful. Look what he said here, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Folks, I'm thankful that Jesus said he must be lifted up. Amen. So we have the first must in John chapter 3 and verse 7. We have the second must in John chapter 3 and verse 14. But we have the last must. If you will, run your finger down to verse 30. And here's our last must, our last imperative of the chapter. Look what it says in verse 30. And folks, let me tell you something. This is the key to the Christian life right here. Look what it says here. He must increase, but I must decrease. Man, if we could ever get this in our lives, folks. You know why these prayer meetings around here have been so sweet? You know why this church is thriving? You know why it's excited to serve the Lord? Because it's all about him. It's not about us. It's about him. Look what he said here. He must increase, but I must decrease. You know what? If us Christians would practice this in our own life, you know God would get the honor and glory from our lives. You know what? It would change our life. It would revolutionize our life if we would just say, Lord, help us to decrease in our own life and help us to put you in the forefront. You know what he said here? John said, he must increase, but I must decrease. Oh, if we could ever get this. How many times have I knocked on somebody's door and I've said, hey, do you go to church anywhere? Well, I used to go to church. Well, what happened? Well, let me just tell you. You got about an hour and a half? I'll tell you. I got hurt in a church. Folks, we've all been hurt. We've all had things listen, folks, but here's the thing. Let's don't forget. This is not about us. It's about him. You say, Brother Steve, you said that 3 or 4 times. I'm trying to, you know what? Repetition is the art of learning. Amen. And if you just keep repeating, listen, folks, it is about him. And if we get our feelings hurt, we get down here to the altar and we say, Lord, just help those people to hurt my feelings. Lord, just be with them. And Lord, help me not to have such sorry feelings. Help me not to have such sensitive feelings. Lord, help me to know that sometimes we think more highly of ourselves than we are. You know that?
A lot of times we do that. I did a lot of things, as I told you, to try to put food on the table and feed my family. I was driving a big dually pickup truck, a Ford pickup truck, pulling a 40-foot cattle trailer full of plants. And I was taking them to Georgia one day from Florida. And I was on my way, and that old Ford, it started running out of diesel fuel. So I pulled into the gas station, and I was getting kind of low, so I pulled into this gas station. I said, I've got to get some diesel. So the way that I pulled into the pump, it's the only way I could get to where I could get the diesel. And I went in to pay for the fuel. I started pumping the diesel, and then I went back in to get my change, and this guy come in, and he couldn't get around me because I had that big old 40-foot trailer there. He came in, and I'm telling you what, this place was full. I mean, there was people all over the place. He said, who parked that truck like? Oh, he was mad. I mean, he was steaming. Yeah, I mean, fire and smoke coming out of his ears. I mean, he was upset. And I looked over. I said, sir, I'm sorry. That was me. He goes, don't you know how to park? Nobody can get around. I said, sir, I'm going to go move it right now. I apologize. You know what I wanted to do? I wanted to go over there and say, come on, buddy. Put your dukes up. You know what my flesh wanted to do? My flesh wanted to jump all over and say, well, don't, I'll be out of here in a minute. But you know what I did? That was one time I did something right. A soft answer. I said, sir, I'm sorry about that. I said, I'm fixing to go out there right now and move it. I said, I apologize. I said, I hope you have a nice day. That man walked out of that store, and everybody looked at him and said, what an idiot. He looked like the bad person, not me. You know what? You know what, folks? If we'll let Jesus increase in our life, if we'll let him be the one, you know what? When we're driving on a road and somebody cuts us off, you know, we'll have a lot different attitude about it, won't we? Instead of horn cussing them, you know, instead of saying, we know what we do. Lord, help that person. That person's in such a hurry. That person, he needs to get to where he's got to go. Lord, help them have a safe trip. Well, that's a lot different than what we do now, isn't it? Amen. Listen, folks, in our life, we need to represent the Lord and make sure that we know. Listen, folks, he's the one being represented. You ever had to go back and say you're sorry to somebody that you snapped at? I have. I've had to go back and say, listen, I'm sorry. I'm a Christian, and that's not the way Christians act, and I apologize. I've had tears in my eyes before. I have to go back and say, sir, I'm sorry the way I snapped at you. I apologize. I'm a Christian, and that's not the way Christians act. You know what that is? That's letting Christ increase in your life. That's you decreasing. Excuse me. And that's what we need to do, folks. We need to decrease in our life and let him increase. Amen. The three imperatives of John 3, you must be born again. If you're here today and you're not saved, you're not born again, you must be born again. And then secondly, if you are born again, then you must let Christ be lifted up in your life. And thirdly, you decrease and let Christ increase. Have we practiced that? You know what? If we practice that, this place will be so full. We'll have, you know what? When I come back here next year, if the Lord allows me to come back here, you'll have to knock that wall and that wall out. You'll have so many people here, you won't be able to know what to do with all of them. Why? Because we decrease in our life and let him increase. Folks, I'll tell you what, this is the key to the Christian life. It's easy preaching, but it's not very hard. I mean, it's not very easy living. It's kind of hard living, amen? So we need to say, Lord, help us to decrease in our life and help you to increase, amen? Let's bow for a prayer. Lord, we love you today, Lord. Lord, I pray that you'd be with the pastor, Lord, as he comes. Lord, I pray that you give him the wisdom, Lord, to know what to do in this remainder part of the service. Lord, I've done what I know I should do, Lord. And, Lord, I've tried to preach in my feeble way, Lord, and try to tell these folks, Lord, what you've given me to preach. But, Lord, help us, I pray. Lord, if there's someone here today under the sound of my voice that's lost, Lord, help them to see their need of salvation. And then, Lord, if there's a Christian here today that has said, Brother Steve, I haven't decreased. I've been increasing in my life, and I've been pushing Christ down. Lord, help us not to do that. Help us, I pray. Help that Christian friend, Lord, that's here today. Help them to see their need, Lord, of building you up and putting you at the forefront. And, Lord, help us to put us, ourselves, last. Lord, we love you today. Lord, thank you for this church. Thank you for this pastor. Be in the remainder part of this service, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's all stand, please. What a blessing. First question is, has there ever been a time in your life when you've recognized that you're a sinner and on your way to hell. Have you ever fallen on your knees and said, Jesus, save me today? Father, come into my heart, make me a new creature in Christ. Have you done that? If you had not, we want to challenge you this morning. We want to challenge you to be born again today. Say, preacher, I'm not sure what all that entails, this being born again stuff. But I sure would like to know more. I want to encourage you. If you'll come forward, we'll let someone take God's word and show you how you can be born again. Then the challenge, Christians, us, is are we lifting up Christ in our life? Are we doing everything that we can? Are we willing to let ourselves decrease that God can be increased, that He can be seen in us rather than us being seen for ourselves? That's a challenge. This man has preached a great message this morning. You know the invitation. The altar's open. Let's sing.
Have thine affection.
Let's be obedient, Christians.
Been nailed to the cross.
Let's be obedient this morning.
Is thy heart right with God? Countest thou all things for Jesus but lost? Is thy heart right with God? Is thy heart right with God? Washed in the crimson blood, cleansed and made holy, humble and lowly, right?